The following program is a presentation of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction.
Did you know that jewelry is an investment? A very bad investment. What's your jewelry really worth? Find out right now on In the Money. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? I'm David Bluestein.
And I'm Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio.
We're here each Saturday morning at 7 o'clock to provide an insider's view on the world of jewelry, coins, antiques, collectibles, and so much more. As owners and operators of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction, we're on the front line with a finger on the pulse of these markets every single day. And as of right now, you have a friend in the business. Did you know that jewelry is an investment? A very bad investment. Today on our Insider Report, you'll get the inside story on how jewelry valuations are determined for new jewelry, estate jewelry, and for scrap. Also, we'll be talking to Oscar Bubba Villarreal from the jewelry store at Concord Plaza about jewelry manufacturing and the jewelry supply chain. And we'll be taking your calls and emails on the subject of what's my jewelry worth. I hate that question, what's my jewelry worth? Because it can mean so many things. Everybody accepts the fact that when you buy a new car, what happens to the price, the value of a new car, the second you drive it off the lot? I'm not even going to tell you because I know that you already know what happens to that. When you buy new clothing, designer clothing, or buy it at Kmart, I don't care, you know that the second you put that clothing on, it's worth a lot less than when you bought it. But what happens when you buy new jewelry? Lady comes in last Saturday. She has an engagement ring from an engagement that's gone awry. That's not anything new to us. We see that all the time. And, of course, she wants top dollar for it. She'd like to lose as little as possible. And, if possible, she'd even like to make a little money on it. Well, that's not going to happen. It's as if she could walk into a jewelry store, buy a piece of jewelry from the case, bring it to anybody on earth who's in the business, and sell it for more money than what she paid for it. That can't happen. The retail customer, when they go to sell their jewelry, is going to get less for it than when they bought it. Sometimes we, who are masters of the industry and know almost everything about gold, silver jewelry, sometimes we have to sell jewelry for less than what we paid for it. And a retail customer, someone who walks into a shop and just pays the price that's on the piece in the case, not a chance they're going to get more for it. In fact, at this moment, this auction tonight is part four of our final liquidation of Amanda's Fine Gifts, a gift shop on 281, shares a building with Dennis Jewelers. They've had their going out of business sale, and they called us one day and said, come and get it. We came to get it, and there were tons of Yadro and Hummel and Swarovski crystal, Chilmark pewter, Lalique glass, everything, and we're closing that out for them now. Hundreds and hundreds of lots every week, so many pieces, no reserves, no minimums. Tonight we're going to do part four of that closeout. Wonderful Disney porcelain. People are having a great time. No reserves, no minimums, and that merchandise will go anywhere from 10 to 50% of the retail value. I promise you that the owner of Amanda's Fine Gifts is not making money on every piece. Sometimes even the experts have to accept less than what they paid for it. And as a retail customer, you, ladies and gentlemen, will have to accept less than what you paid for your retail jewelry.
We refer to In the Money Fact of Life number four, it's only worth what someone will pay for it.
And you're gonna hear us refer to In the Money Facts of Life all the time. Last week's show was about the 14 that we deem the most important, although believe me, we have thousands of them. But I want to refer also to Facts of Life number six. It takes two bidders to make an auction. And if you have your jewelry and you're taking it around and you want to know what that's worth, you have to take it to more than one place. We acknowledge readily that we, of course, why do we want you to do that? We just want you to bring it to us and offer whatever it is and accept whatever it is we want to offer to you. But, no, come on, let's be real. At our auctions, we don't just show merchandise to one person, and neither should you. You know, it's funny. We get calls every day, people saying, what are you paying for gold? How much a gram are you paying for gold? And I always want to ask them, When you go to sell your car, do you ask them, what are you paying per pound for cars today? How much per pound will you give me? I mean, don't you have to know what kind of car, what condition the car is, what features does the car have? I can imagine these people selling their house and saying, here's how much per square foot I'm asking for it. With no consideration, is the roof caving in? Is it in a nice neighborhood? Does it have a pool? You can't treat your jewelry that way. How much? We never know how to answer that question.
That's right. I mean, what do you pay for gold? You have to consider the purity, the style, so many different things.
And what if it's really nice? What if it's Princess Diana's engagement ring? Wouldn't we pay more for that than we would for a broken-down yellow gold faux nugget bracelet from the 1980s? What is it? You have to consider what it is. And wouldn't we pay more? If we're going to pay more for better quality, wouldn't we pay more for more and more quantity? This question, what are you paying for gold? When people ask us that, sometimes we feel that they think we're being evasive when we try to answer it accurately. But we can't tell you what we're paying. We have to say, well, what is it that you have? Because not all gold jewelry is scrap. Not all gold jewelry is scrap. At the Jewelry Exchange, we're always looking for better pieces that we can put into the auction and get more and more for, whether we buy them from you directly or whether we represent you at auction. Each Saturday evening, we have anywhere from 10,000 to 25,000 people all over the world coming to the gallery and previewing online and bidding online. They're responding to our internet simulcast. We have a live audio feed, and everything's happening in real time. We're specializing in new estate, vintage jewelry, antique jewelry, also coins and collectibles, currency. We have our FFL coming soon. We'll be getting into guns and weapons in a big way. Any day. We just sold Milton Berle's Mercedes. Milton Berle's Mercedes. We'll talk about that some other time. And yes, you can come in and see our human foot. We have a human foot on the wall. If you have it and you think it's valuable and you think someone might be interested, we want to see that. You can sell it on the spot and get cash now, or you can auction it. It takes about 3 weeks turnaround time. But if we can get people to compete for it, if it's something that people really want, they'll pay more and more, and you'll get more and more. Really, we're always asking, what's in your closet? Because really, at the Jewelry Exchange and auction, you can get more money for your merchandise, and you don't have to treat it like scrap. Besides, of all the people you talk to about jewelry, used jewelry, scrap gold, unwanted gold and silver, we buy old gold, we're probably going to find that we're one of the few, if not the only ones, who can truthfully say that we're licensed by the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation, we're certified by the Texas Department of Public Safety, we're members of the Better Business Bureau, the American Numismatic Association. We have something to lose if you think that we've been lying to you and you want to complain to somebody, and we're not going to risk anything to try to make a few extra bucks. You might not like what we tell you, but it's going to be true and it's going to be accurate. So really, we're asking everybody, come on to our gallery at 19903 Stone Oak Parkway, or visit us online at jewelryexchangeandauction.com. Bring us your unwanted valuables. If you like, call first. We'll discuss it with you. Come to our live auction tonight. Free champagne at 6 o'clock. 7 o'clock, the auction begins. And also join us every Saturday here on KLUP at 7 a.m. for In the Money, because we're leveling with you. I don't think that a lot of people are going to like the kind of information that we're giving, because it really is insider information. In a few minutes, we'll have this week's insider report. But we're going to give it to you. And in the long run, it's going to make you some money and make your life easier. Before we do the insider report, though, let's turn this over to Adam. Let's do this week's In the Money trivia quiz, and then we'll go to the insider's report.
All right. Now it's time for this week's trivia quiz, the quiz where you win the answer. And first, I'm going to review last week's quiz. Last week, we asked, what was the last year of production for the Morgan Silver Dollar? Of course, the answer is the 1921 Morgan Silver Dollar. We had three lucky winners, and they were, I'm going to read their names, Gail Silber, Connor Poff, David Astwood. Each of them won a 1921 Morgan Silver Dollar. And if you were listening last week, you would have heard that we offered to give it to the first four people that supplied us with the correct answer. But we only had three correct responses. And even after the show, I would be happy to have accepted a fourth correct answer, but nobody submitted one. And so, I mean, if you're listening and you think maybe you're just not fast enough, Get your answers in there. Anybody could have had a free silver dollar if they'd have just submitted the answer. But and we're going to do this week's question. This week's question is regarding gemstones. Gemstones that display color phenomenon like opal, alexandrite, star ruby, and star sapphire are among the most popular. The six-pointed star effect displayed in star sapphires is called asterism. The question is, what is the name of the inclusion that causes asterism? And to be a winner this week, all you have to do is be the first person to email the correct answer to quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. And you may also submit your answer directly from our homepage at www.inthemoneyradio.com. And then listen next week to see if we read your name on the air. If we do, come claim your prize at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction at 19903 Stone Oak Parkway within the next 30 days. Enter as often as you like, but please only one winner per household per month. And remember, that address is quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. That's quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. And good luck.
Well, I have to admit that I'd be on Google right now trying to find out what the answer to that is. We have six full-time people at our gallery, seven part-time. We have different areas of expertise, and apparently mine is not gemstones. That's Adam's. But if I were home right now, I'd be on Google saying, "What is that?" And I'd be trying to win. This is the quiz where you
win the answer.
You win the answer. So I guess you might be able to guess what the prize is, but hey, it's worth a shot. You got nothing to lose. Let's do this week's Insider Report. Every week, we're going to take you inside our world of collectibles and buying and selling jewelry and just about anything of value. We want you to know what we know and share with you ways that you can get more or pay less. This week's topic is, what's your jewelry worth? And the basis for this is a document that's on our website. It's called What's It Worth? And it's in our library.
That's actually on the Jewelry Exchange and Auction website.
Yeah, jewelryexchangeandauction.com. That one of the tabs is library. When you click on that, it takes you to a magical place where we have stored all sorts of documents that we refer to on a regular basis, all sorts of tables and charts, and we've put different write-ups there. Some of them we wrote ourselves. Some of them we borrowed from other people, and we make all that available to you because we want you to know what we know. And in this document, we go over the four different levels of value for jewelry, and we want to go over that with you right now. You know, the top level is the retail value. The retail value, really, the definition is the price at which a jeweler sells a new piece of jewelry that he has either purchased from a distributor or a manufacturer or that he has made himself. That's retail. That's the top of the pricing structure for jewelry. That's what you pay when you go to a jewelry store and buy a new piece of jewelry, and that's precisely the price that you can't get when you go to sell that jewelry. Retail value is always referred to as appraised value, replacement value, insurance value, and that is what your jewelry is worth when it's new and when you're buying it. And it's precisely what your jewelry is not worth under any other condition. Our guest today, Oscar Villarreal from the jewelry store at Concord Plaza, he's going to join us in a few minutes. He's going to tell us, among other aspects of the retail jewelry world, he's going to explain the various components that make up retail jewelry pricing and give us all a better of understanding of that. Adam and I readily admit that we live in the deconstructive world of jewelry, and Oscar's in the constructive world, so this will be educational for all of us. But when it comes to retail jewelry, please note that I said it's a new piece of jewelry, because once we go to sell it, it's a resale, and it's really not a retail anymore.
That's right. Even when you go to when it comes to retail jewelry, I mean, this happened to me recently. I went to a mall and happened to go into a retail jewelry store. I won't mention the name, but I wanted some free air conditioning, and they started talking to me about their jewelry, they were saying things would you like to invest in a diamond? They were talking about their investment grade diamonds. And, you know, they didn't know that I was in the business. Being in the business, I heard that and said, what? An investment-grade diamond. I do hear this sometimes. I wouldn't say that that really exists. But especially when you go to a retail jewelry store, boy, that that when you when as soon as you buy that and you leave, that I you are not getting that money back, even if you went in 30 minutes later and never wore it. They'll be happy to explain to you why it's an investment, but it's just not true. It's not a matter of opinion. That's just not true.
People tell us about jewelry that they've bought. They told us what they paid, and when we explain this retail, the difference between retail and what they might be able to sell it for, they say, no, but they have a friend in the business, they got a really good price on it, and they show us the appraisal for the piece of jewelry they got, which is always much higher than the price they actually paid. But when we deconstruct it, we look at the components, and we do our calculations as to the pricing structure for new jewelry as opposed to components of the jewelry, we find out that the appraisals, and almost every appraisal we see, really is a pretty good laugh for people who know what they're doing, because those appraisals, I mean, look, if you went into a retail jewelry store and you paid X dollars for it, the retail price was X dollars, and anybody can give you a piece of paper that says it's two times X, three times X.
To show you what a great deal you got.
You got a great deal. But what we find out that those retail appraisals usually don't really mean much of anything. The two terms that you need to know about retail jewelry, especially from the chain stores or the jewelers who aren't creating the jewelry themselves, no real artisan work, but are just buying it out of a catalog and marking it up, you need to know the terms keystone and double keystone. When jewelry catalogs are published that we're supposed to show our customers and they have retail prices in them, often we have a choice whether we want the Keystone catalog or the Double Keystone catalog, because the price in the catalog is the retail price, which is keystoned. Keystoned means two times our cost. And if we really want to go crazy, if we want to set up in one of the better malls in town and to wear three-piece suits, then we might go for Double Keystone, which is triple the retail cost,
the wholesale cost.
Right. There's a fair amount of misdirection in retail jewelry, and we like to believe that we're the guys who are going to redirect you onto the right path. We've made a reference to what the jeweler's cost is for this jewelry, and then he may keystone it or double keystone it, and his cost is referred to as the wholesale value. The wholesale value, the price at which a jeweler can buy a new piece of jewelry from a distributor or from a manufacturer. You know, just do the math. If keystone and double keystone is 2 to 3 times the jeweler's cost, then retail is 2 to 3 times the wholesale price.
That's right.
And what people don't understand is if they bought a ring, let's say, for $10,000 retail and they bring it to us, they might say, no, I know I can't get my $10,000, but I'm hoping to get $8,000, $7,000, $6,000. Well, if that ring was keystoned, we can buy it brand new just like your jeweler did for $5,000. If you paid $10,000 and it was keystoned, then wholesale was $5,000. If it was double keystoned, we can buy it for $3,500. But what we would get would be a brand new piece, not your smelly old piece. And when I refer to your smelly old piece, I mean, you should see used jewelry under magnification. We call it lotion, but I think there's more organic activity going on than just that. In any case, wholesale is new jewelry only, and it's what the jewelers pay before they mark it up with keystoning or double keystoning. And bear in mind, too, that if you are a jeweler and you have keystoned a piece and it's not moving and you want to take 33% off, next time you see someone with a 33% discount, I mean, you can start to figure this out. Maybe it's double keystoned, and they're still trying to make twice their money. Look, when Oscar comes on, he's going to talk about some of the costs in the supply chain. People come in sometimes and say, oh, in other words, my jeweler's ripping me off. No, the jeweler has astronomical costs. But we just want you to know how the pricing goes, and then it's up to the jeweler to justify his costs by himself. But still, bear in mind that wholesale is going to be one-third to one-half of the retail price. And for that price, someone in a business like we are can get brand-new jewelry, not your used jewelry.
And being in the business, we don't like to involve emotion when it comes to evaluating jewelry. I like to turn everything into a math problem. I have a science background. If I can't turn it into a math problem, then I feel a little lost. But I find that a wholesale value, the number I like to use, is going, if I'm going to try to figure out what a wholesale cost is for a piece, I usually evaluate the component value and add another 30%. That I say that the approximately the wholesale price will usually be about 130% of the component value.
Okay, yeah, we like to make things make sense. It's not always about, gee, do we think that's pretty or not. You know, once we're dealing with used jewelry, and there's a lot of different words for used jewelry. A lot of people aren't aware. Used jewelry, estate jewelry, that's the same thing. Estate, pre-owned, vintage, antique, lovingly preserved. Those are just all terms for used jewelry. And the resale value of used jewelry is the price at which a piece of used jewelry can be resold to the public. That's at a retail shop or even at a jewelry auction. This week, tonight's auction will be our 148th auction.
That's right.
In the last 3 years. We specialize in jewelry. We always say finger on the pulse. What's hot? The jewelry that's in demand, brand name jewelry, brand names that we've heard of. I mean, your custom manufacturer in Beverly Hills might have done a nice job, but nobody in San Antonio cares. Tiffany, Cartier, David Yurman, even Pandora and James Avery. I mean, I did business for 25 years in California when I got here and asked, and someone said, do you buy James Avery? I said, sure. What's James Avery? Because it's pretty much a local phenomenon. Any of the vintage Art Deco styles, we have a lot of vintage style Art Deco in tonight's auction. White material is in. Yellow material is out. Yellow gold, faux nugget jewelry, yellow gold, shrimp earrings, cameos, coin rings. And did I mention yellow gold is out? Take a look in the fashion magazines. You won't see much yellow gold.
What's really hot right now also is white material with the tanzanite.
One-fifth to one-third of retail, or one-fifth to one-third of the appraised value, is what estate jewelry goes for at auction when there are willing buyers. If there are no willing buyers, it can go even less. We put jewelry in the auction, and if we can't beat the component value, on Monday morning, Adam's there with his little hammer, and the
it's a big hammer,
and it goes right into the bucket. My sister will not buy used jewelry. She thinks if she can't get it, if it's not at Neiman Marcus, it just isn't any good. And so not everyone is willing to buy used jewelry. If you have to pay more than a third to a fifth, if you had to pay half of the retail cost, maybe you'd just rather go buy it brand new.
Although for name brand jewelry, I find we can get as much as half of the original retail prices for the right stuff.
But what we're always looking for is merchandise that we can resell at auction, get more money for the consignor, get more money for us. But when all else fails, there's always the scrap value or the component value. At the jewelry exchange, we don't just assume it's scrap. Let's take a look at it first before we start telling you how much per gram we're going to pay you for it, because maybe we can pay much more. For example, silver Avery charms, 2 times melt, maybe more. We don't care what the scrap value is on that. The scrap value, the price at which a piece of jewelry can be dismantled into its component parts to be recycled. It's just like taking your tin cans to the recycler station. It's just that we're wearing nice clothes, that's all. And the recycled value is based on the spot price, the resale value of the stones, if any. Generally, the scrap value of a piece of jewelry is 10 to 20% of its retail value. I know you don't like that, but that's the truth. When you shop around, try to get closer to 20% than 10%, because believe me, there are people out there who are going to offer it to you, or who are going to make you offers of even less than 10% of that value. Now, you got to understand that a dealer needs to make a profit. If a piece is going to sell at auction for a fifth to a third of its retail value, you have to give us a little bit of room. And if we're going to be buying scrap, if anyone's going to be buying scrap from you, you have to give us a little bit of room. We pay more depending on the quality. We pay more depending on the quantity. And we're doing deals for as little as 2%. Call around, and when they tell you what they're paying for scrap, ask them if they're doing deals for as little as 2%. And then come talk to us. We never say just come to us. We say go to two or three people. Make sure we're one of them. In fact, come to us last, because then you don't have to come to us twice.
People, all the time I hear people quote other dealers saying that they said this, they said that, they'll pay 100% of the component value or whatever. I find the only apples to apples comparison you can do is actually get two or three quotes, see who will pay the most, ignore everything else, it's just talk.
And if you walk into a place and you show them anything and they utter this phrase, "What are you looking to get?" Well, run. Because there's all they're hoping is that you say something totally stupid, and half the time they're going to offer you less because you said X, well, they're going to offer some fraction of X. I love it on TV when on one of these pawn shows where somebody says, "Yeah, I'm looking to get 500," and the person behind the counter says, "I won't give you 500. I'll give you 5,000." I always think, "Oh, I'd like to be on a fly on the wall if there was no camera running," because I don't think that's going to happen very much. Rest assured, too, that even in a scrap jewelry, the diamonds, the gemstones, they have some kind of value. And believe me, you're going to hear on a future show, they don't have the value they might think you have, that you might think they have, but they have some kind of value. And if we can get value out of it, we're going to cut you in on that. We want you to get value out of that, too. We're just about up against a hard break here. KLUP's fault. They're going to take you away for a couple messages, but we're not going anywhere. We'll be right back with Oscar Bubba Villarreal from the jewelry store at Concord Plaza. He's going to tell us all about jewelry manufacturing and the retail supply chain. We'll be taking your calls and emails on the subject of what's my jewelry worth. You're in the money with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. You're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Our special guest today, Oscar Bubba Villarreal from the jewelry store at Concord Plaza. Welcome, Oscar. Thanks for coming on, being our first guest ever.
Thank you for having me on.
Oscar, you know, I can't help but notice that everybody around me, whenever I'm with you, calls you Bubba. And I know that a lot of your customers and friends and family know you as Bubba. But I'm kind of on the same side as your gemologist, Nikki. We look at you and we say, we just don't see a Bubba. How did you get the name Bubba?
Bubba came from my little brother that couldn't say brother. So he just started calling me Bubba and it stuck.
Well, I know that Nikki says she's from Tennessee or Kentucky.
She's from Kentucky and I'm not the typical Bubba.
Yeah, she says she knows a lot of Bubbas and you're not one of them. Adam and I first met Oscar. He was head magician for a prestigious Stone Oak jewelry store. And we had to replace a stone on a 400-year-old Iranian ring. And do you remember that at all?
I remember the first time I met you and you brought that in and you asked me to take care of it for you and taken care of.
Well, when he got it back, I showed it to the lady that I was going to say we had it fixed for, that Oscar fixed it for. And she said, she's looking at it, she says, well, which stone was it? And I said, well, that's a good thing that you can't tell. Beautiful job. Had to find the stone, color match it, color, match the cut, match
very
the fastening.
Very strange cut.
Yeah, very strange cut. I mean, what were they doing 400 years ago in Iran? Who knows? And but you made that happen, and we're really glad that you could do that. Also, the last time I saw you, you were talking about going out on your own. Everybody I know talks about going out on their own, but you really did it, didn't you?
I did it. I've been in the business 32 years as a bench jeweler, and now I opened up the jewelry store in Concord Plaza, and I specialize in custom fabricating and restoration of estate jewelry.
Yeah, we find you're not the typical jeweler. We know so many jewelers who I think you used the word bench jeweler. What mm-hmm. exactly is that?
A bench jeweler is actually someone that's got skills and apprentice skills that learn how to actually work on the piece of jewelry with their hands, pliers, tools, torches, and things like that, and they learn how to fabricate and remanufacture parts that might be missing on hollowware, flatware, just old antique pieces of jewelry that they want to restore.
Well, what happens? One day you just wake up and you say this is the kind of business you want
to
be in?
No, I was going to school for electrical engineering, and my uncle, who I apprenticed under at Dennis Jewelry, asked me to work for him, and I've been in it 32 years later.
And so I think it was last November you finally stepped off the cliff and rented your own building?
Last November. It was November I decided to go ahead and go in on my own. My clientele base is very large, and I specialize, again, in custom fabricating for customers that want a specific piece of jewelry, not just jewelry store jewelry, but something special.
You told us that during your 32 years you built a database of how many customers?
A database in 32 years is sitting at around 10,000.
But the word of mouth is so strong that even though you moved to your new location in November, you haven't had to contact those people
yet. I have
yet.
Not contacted them yet. I also do wholesale work for a couple of high-end jewelry stores here in town, and that's keeping me very, very busy.
Excellent. You know, we're flooded all the time by people wanting to sell us advertising. We say we have all the growth we want without paying for it. I just don't see any reason why we should have to do that. Hey, Oscar, when someone has an idea for a new jewelry creation, what should they do?
Well, when they first come in here and ask me or anybody out there if they're looking for a piece to have made, I typically try to size up what they're trying to get out of this piece of jewelry, what the occasion is, what it means to them, how they're going to be wearing it. And then we kind of go from there, and I evaluate those desires that they have, and we start fabricating models and formulating ideas and drawings, whether it be CAD or hand sculpture. And we go ahead and make something up that we think they're going to like, and we kind of take a step by step at a time and go from there.
And if somebody found a piece elsewhere that they liked, or maybe they had a piece but they didn't wear it because a certain aspect of it was too big or rode too high, or they saw it somewhere but it was the wrong material or something like that, what can you do about that?
Well, from that we get a picture. They bring us a picture of ideas. I can go and come up with ideas using all their information and coming up with exactly what they want. And that's the beauty of hand fabricating from scratch, is that we can make exactly what they want, not the typical piece you might find in a retail jewelry store.
But if someone had a ring and let's say it had a round diamond and they wanted to switch to a princess cut, or they had a ring that was always getting snagged on something, you have ways to deal with all
we
that.
We have ways to deal with all that. We take the piece and look it under a microscope and evaluate what the problems might be. And as far as switching shapes or stones or colored, that's just a matter of refabricating the setting to fit that particular stone.
Okay. So it sounds like if someone has something on their mind, they should talk to you about it, and probably something they can do about it.
Definitely. Anything can be made if it wants to be made.
Okay. Now, you know that today's topic is about jewelry valuation. And, you know, Adam and I talk all the time, certainly when it comes to taking it apart. We're masters at that, but we thought, who do we know who's a master at putting it back together again? People come all the time and say and ask us to do things, and we'd say, but we just want you to know, once we do it, we can't undo it. So we thought, let's get Oscar in here, a guy who can undo it and who can actually make it from scratch. But I wanted to ask you, when you're putting a piece together, it's easy. I mean, we've mentioned keystone and ideas like that. It's easy if you buy something out of a book and it costs you X and you mark it up a certain amount. But you're not doing that. You're going from scratch. And we wanted to ask you how you go about valuing your time and your materials when you're creating a piece.
Well, when you start a piece for a customer, you have to evaluate your time. How much time are you putting in it, whether you're going to sculpture something from scratch or find something that's pre-made that you can modify to fit what they want?
You don't have to necessarily make it from scratch if it's readily available in the market, and what they could expect to save some money that way?
Oh, definitely. Definitely save some money for it, because time is valuable in this manufacturing business.
One of our premises is that when you buy a car, you shouldn't consider that an investment, except in a rare situation. And certainly when you buy clothes, you shouldn't expect to ever get your money back. I'm going to just ask you point blank. Is jewelry an investment?
Jewelry is not an investment. Jewelry is a piece of jewelry that you buy for emotional reasons. It's given for an occasion. It's given for meaning. It's more of a heartfelt gift that women like to wear jewelry all the time, and it means certain things, and that's why they have so much of it.
You know, we there's no shortage of people in our mutual business telling people that they can go to a jewelry store and buy jewelry, and that it's an investment. Adam had an episode lately where somebody said that they thought that it was a jewelry retailer said that, oh, he expects the price of diamonds to double soon, and suggested to Adam that if he bought this retail diamond that he should be able to double his money. In other words, sell it. In fact, he said you could sell it back to him for twice the price.
Well, not back to him.
He said I could ask
a larger price in the future. That's what he said.
So certainly we know that this type of merchandise has value, but the idea that that you could buy a piece at a retail value and actually make money on it, I mean, anyway, I'm glad to hear you say that. I have a lot of respect for you.
Any and all jewelry is bought for emotional reasons.
It's a luxury.
Good. I think our listeners can have some respect for you, too, for saying that. I wanted to ask you, because you've been doing this a long time, what are some of the more remarkable projects you've been working on?
Oh, I've made pieces that I've worked on. Antique pieces go back to the 16th century that they need refabricated parts. They're missing legs, they're missing stones, bezels, and things like that. I do have access to a laser welder I purchased 2 years ago, which allows me to work on any metal, whether it be from pewter, lead, tin, platinum, stainless steel. I worked on from fishing rods to shotguns.
What can you do with a laser?
Laser welder.
A laser welder that you can't do with a torch?
A laser welder allows you to weld in whatever metal that you're welding without applying heat to it. So you don't have to remove stones anymore like you used to.
I know a lot of soft stones, they would just crack and be destroyed. And
I can re-tip prongs and re-tip a ring and re-shank a ring with stones in it and not have any issue done it and have it in less the time.
And I imagine the laser is a much finer point than a flame.
A much, much, much finer point.
I've got a couple of technical questions for you, because after all my years in the business, I'm not sure I know the answers to these, and I know you do. And they're easy. They're going to be easy questions for you. You looked a little concerned there for a second, Oscar. No, it's going to be easy questions. People say to us sometimes that maybe they're going to take an old ring and have it made into a new piece of jewelry. And we don't know if jewelers even want to do that or whether that can really be done without running into some kind of integrity problem with the metal.
Well, when I recast metal, I usually evaluate the metal to see if there's any porosity in it, if there's any metal that's maybe not the quality of metal we'd like to have in a new piece, because every time you melt metal, you lose alloys. Alloys get burnt in it, and you have the chance of porosity being caused in that particular piece. And that's not what you want to have when you're going to have a brand new piece. So typically, we melt the metal down, purify it back to 24, then realloy it to get them that piece they want without any imperfections in it.
Well, that's what I've been saying for it's funny. I just realized you said 32 years. I'm finishing up. I'm just starting my 33rd year in this business, and I've been given that answer for 32 years, and now I know it's actually correct.
Correct.
And so that's true. If the new piece of jewelry that you make for somebody actually contains the gold that they originally gave to you.
Yes, it can contain the gold. Especially a lot of women that come up are hand-me-down pieces, heirloom pieces, where they want to wear their grandmother's ring or have a father died or a brother died or, husband died. They want to use that wedding band. Yes, right. I can use, and you can use their metal in that particular piece to be remanufactured.
Another quick, just a real quick technical question. A ring is a little too small for someone, a little too big, but we look at the construction of the ring and say you certainly can't cut it and splice into it, because these stones are going to pop out, there's going to be a problem. To what degree could the size of a ring be changed up or down without having to perform major surgery?
Well, there's two ways to look at a ring. Is a ring being cast metal, which means it would have to be cut, and you'd have to add a piece and weld it in there. If it's a die-struck piece, like a wedding band, that's never been sized, it can be stretched and shrunk with the machine without losing any integrity at all, losing metal or anything like that.
So someone should consider that before
they just
stop wearing it.
Anything can be done if you want to get it done.
Oscar, I always like to ask, what question should we have asked you that we didn't ask you? Wow.
Sure.
I guess we scored 100 here. Tell me something. How can our listeners contact you if they want to consult with you or have an appraisal done, or whether they know they want something created that they don't trust to just anybody?
You can contact me or Nikki at the jewelry store, Jones Malzberger next to Ruth Chris Steakhouse, or at thejewelrystore.com.
Great, Oscar. Please stay with us. We're going to do a short commercial break now, and then we're going to come back, open up the phone lines for In the Money with Oscar Villarreal from the jewelry store, and Adam and me, David Bluestein, from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. So don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Hi, I'm Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction and co-host of KLUP's In the Money. Every Saturday evening, thousands of people just like you join our live auctions in Stone Oak. New and estate jewelry at up to 80% off retail, including brand names like Tiffany, Rolex, and James Avery. Rare coins and currency far below coin shop prices, and name your own price for all sorts of collectibles and small antiques with different merchandise every week. Bid live in our gallery or through our internet simulcast. It's all happening at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction each Saturday in San Antonio. Texas license number 16604, member Better Business Bureau. Call 210-592-8786 or visit jewelryexchangeandauction.com. And join us every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for In the Money, right here on KLUP.
That's right. We hope to see you tonight, too. A champagne reception at 6. You can preview in leisure. Auction begins at 7. It's a friendly crowd. We have an off-duty police officer at the door to make sure everybody's happy. And we're hoping to see you all there tonight at 7 o'clock. You're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money. Our guests today, Oscar Bubba Villarreal from the jewelry store at Concord Plaza. And we're going to go to the phones. Let's take some calls. I have we have Pamela on line number 3. Hello, Pamela.
Yes.
Hi, Pam. You're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, I do. In the last couple of years, I've begun collecting estate jewelry. And I noticed that on a lot of the descriptions of them, that it says that the diamonds are European cut or single cut diamonds. And I was wondering if you could tell me something about what that means and how that impacts both insurance evaluations and maybe like resale prices.
Good. Oscar's going to take that question, Pam.
Hello, Pamela.
Hey, good to see you.
European diamonds and single cut diamonds are different in the sense that single cut diamonds are usually very small, under 20 points. A European cut diamond is a diamond that was cut over 80 years ago, and it was cut by hand. And all those facets on there are very, very close, but there are a lot of irregularities in the facets, in the crown, and they typically will have a cut culet on it. If you look at the very side of the diamond, it's going to have what's called a brute girdle, and that's where the girdle looks a little rough. But the valuation-wise goes, they're very unusual to see anymore. You will see some of them that are very, very clean. Typically, they will be included. The colors are usually a little bit, have a little more of a tint to it. You very rarely see any DEF colors on those there. And again, going to the single cuts, they're smaller diamonds, and they have much fewer facets. And those are typically used in what they call melee, using to put a lot around watches and rings. That they just wanted to put some diamonds there that make it look a little bigger than it is.
Oscar, we figure that we stopped seeing European cut diamonds sometime in the 1930s, and it seems that in around the 40s they've gone to the modern round brilliant.
Right. The modern round brilliant is now the new diamond of choice because its faceting system is so much brighter. They're all cut by computers now. Very, very few people are even touching a stone by hand. A diamond is now cut through with a laser. It's actually scanned, electron scanned, and it's designed to figure out how that diamond can be cut to maintain its weight, maintain the shape, so they don't lose any weight, because everything on a diamond is critical on its weight. Its finished weight is what prices a diamond out.
And the caller was asking about the difference in valuation between the two. If you had two diamonds that had similar characteristics, but one was a European cut and one was a modern round brilliant, what would be the difference in value?
The difference in value is that a modern brilliant cut is more desirable because it's a much prettier stone. It's a much more sought-after stone because it's more of a perfect cut stone. The European cut stone, you're not going to find in your typical ring in a jewelry store anymore. That's going to typically be in an antique or an estate piece.
Mm-hmm. Pamela, does that answer your questions? Anything else for us?
I think that does. I appreciate the information. It's very helpful.
Well, good. We thank you for calling. We're hoping to see you tonight in Stone Oak at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. And ever again, you have any kind of question, don't hesitate to call us on the air or off the air. We want you to know all the facts about the jewelry business.
It's a 210-592-8786. 210-592-8786.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Pamela. Line number 2, Anita. Anita, you're on the air with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Oscar Bubba Villarreal from the jewelry store at Concord Plaza.
Anita, you have a question?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
This is something that I've been curious about for a while. From time to time, I'll see retail jewelry stores advertising that they sell wholesale diamonds to the public. And the reason I don't understand that is if a retail jeweler buys a diamond wholesale and then they turn around and sell it to a customer wholesale, I don't see any profit there, and I'm wondering how they do that and keep the doors open.
Hey, Pamela, Oscar. When you say wholesale, Oh, I'm sorry, Anita.
That's okay.
When you say wholesale, it's because a lot of times they're either trying to get rid of a little bit of inventory, they're discounting the price to where they appear to be wholesale. Everybody's got to make a nickel. You have operating expenses. So wholesale is more of a term used for sales. It's a sales pitch to try to get you in there, to try to get a customer to come in and at least look. And once you look, then you can kind of see what's going on.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
And Pam, also, I'm sorry. I just did it, too. I'm sorry, Anita. And people ask me the same kind of question, too. There's a thing called the Rappaport magazine. It's a diamond wholesale sheet, and frankly, diamonds, unless they're 4 carats and up and very, very nice, they're typically going to be traded at a discount to the Rappaport magazine. A lot of the diamonds we see are smaller and lower quality and going to be as much as a 50% off discount to Rappaport magazine. And so I think what a lot of these jewelers are doing that claim to be selling wholesale is they might be even referring to Rappaport and saying, "Look, this is my cost. I'm selling it to you at my cost," and it's not necessarily true that in general these smaller and lower quality diamonds can be bought at a discount to the Rappaport price, and not every jeweler is necessarily going to tell you that, and so it appears that they're selling it at wholesale. When really, of course, they're making some money. I mean, that's why they're there. Everybody's got to make some money.
And it's true, too, Anita, that, see, I got your name right. I'm the smart one. it's true, too, that one of our facts of life here in the money is that you can't sell it to the book. The book doesn't buy anything. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what Rappaport says. Rappaport doesn't dictate what we do. In fact, we dictate what Rappaport says.
It's true.
But still, everybody, every store, every town, every commodity has its own market. And there's supply and demand everywhere. At the Jewelry Exchange, for example, we know that most of our customers are retail jewelers. And so when we sell estate diamonds, we know we better price them attractively compared to what they have to pay their wholesaler. In fact, now that we see that Oscar's up and running, we're going to try to sell him some diamonds. But why should he buy them from us if he can just call his regular source and have them FedExed in? They'd be there the next day. So we have to price them attractively. And what we do is say, look, if I'm willing to take $4,200 from Oscar, why would I not be willing to take $4,200 from Anita? And, you know, not every jeweler is going to like that, but that's what we're doing. So it really comes down to if it takes two people to make an auction, all that we're saying is you got to shop around. And you'll be surprised what deals you can find. But still, where I come from, if it's a retail price, if you're buying it from a retailer, it's probably retail. And you can get some deals, but if it sounds too good to be true, as you know, probably isn't. Anita, anything else for us?
That's it. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Great. We hope to see you tonight. You know, we're having an auction at 7 o'clock. We need you to come.
All right.
No promises. Okay, no promises. Thanks for calling, Anita.
Thanks, Anita.
I think we have time for one more call. Sue on line number one. Hi, Sue. You're with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange on In the Money, and our guest today, Oscar Villarreal from the jewelry store and at Concord Plaza. What can we do for you?
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call today.
Our pleasure.
I have a question. I happen to be really sort of fond of a stone called an emerald. And my question is this. I've been hearing stories that what they can do to an emerald is they can inject it with something. And I don't know, first of all, if that's true. And if they do inject it with something, what is that? And does it increase the value of the stone? Does it decrease the value? I mean, is it to strengthen the stone? I'm not sure. And so that was one of my questions that I had, and I just can't find an answer. And I was wondering, maybe you guys can help me out.
Hey, Sue, Oscar. With an emerald, you're going to have emeralds that can be treated, heat-treated, or fracture-filled, and they're usually done to enhance the beauty of the stone. They're usually done to maintain color, to maybe hide some inclusions in the stone. They don't necessarily increase the value. A natural emerald with any treatment in it is not going to have the value of an untreated stone like any other stone. But it would really need to be put under a microscope to find out what is actually done in there. And there are a few other treatments they do use for filling those emeralds, and they're done under vacuum and magnification.
And okay, so but if I purchase a stone of this nature, then will it last? I mean, should I be looking more for stones that don't have this? And is there a way that someone can find these gaps in it?
Well, technically, if you purchase a stone like that, it should have been disclosed to you already that that was a fracture-filled or enhanced stone. Otherwise, they're really not doing you any justice selling you a stone that's been treated without you knowing. So if you'd like to have it evaluated and looked at, please give me a call.
Is that real common, Oscar, that people are just saying it's a sapphire, it's an emerald, when the fact is it might be lab-created, it might
yes,
be
there's
treated
a lot of,
all
there's a lot
sorts
of lab-created stones in the last few years. The process has become very, very common, so you have to be really, really careful.
Sue, does
that is a great – now I can understand that one. Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, sure. We have only a little bit of time left, but please, if you'll go fast, so will we.
Real quick, valuation of jewelry. How can I find out the valuation of if I brought in my mother's ring who has a bunch of different stones in it? I mean, how do I find out the difference between the stones, like if they're diamonds or something?
Yeah,
how
if you just if
done?
You want to show it and have
take this too.
Yeah, Sue, if you want to show it and have a conversation with some knowledgeable people, we can tell you all the facts about it, and then we can tell you about the values too. If you want to know, we can tell you the values on all the different levels, the component level, the resale level, the wholesale level, the retail level. And we have an intelligent conversation. You never have to do anything you don't want to do. As far as I'm concerned, we're just a couple of people talking, and then you'll make whatever decisions you want to make. So, yeah, please bring it on into us at the Jewelry Exchange. We'll be happy to talk to you about it. If you need something formal in writing, we're going to refer you over to Oscar to get that for insurance purposes or for any other purpose that you might have. Sue, thanks for calling, but we're out of time for this week. I want to thank our guest, Oscar Bubba Villarreal, from the jewelry store at Concord Plaza. Please visit Oscar whenever you want the best. If you just want to talk about creating a piece, or if you have a piece and you want to know more about it, Oscar's a great source for that. We trust that you learned something useful. Never ask anybody what's it worth, because you see, that could mean almost anything. You could say, what does it cost me? You can say, what will you give me for it? But what's it worth, almost any answer will be true, and it won't do you any service. We'll be back next Saturday at 7 a.m. with the cultural shift. The collectibles market has changed profoundly and permanently in the past decade. Tune in next week to find out how. We'll give you the insider's report. And what better guests could we have then than Janet Weissenhut from Charlotte's Antiques? I was going to say the oldest antiques dealer in town, but Charlotte wouldn't like that. She's been here a long time, is what I should say. We'll be taking your questions and answering them. If you have questions for Janet or for us, call us at the Jewelry Exchange, 210-592-8786, or email questions at inthemoneyradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. Hope to see you tonight at the Jewelry Exchange. And please join us again next week for In the Money at 7 a.m. on KLUP. We'll answer the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Have a great day. So long. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.